This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, Dingwai World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the program tonight. I almost said New York Giants. San Francisco Giants in town to play the Red Sox over at Fenway Park. Three-game series this week featuring the appearance of Michael Yastrzemski as a member of the Giants. They're making a big deal over this over at Fenway. We'll get to it a little bit later in the show. Michael Yastrzemski, the grandson of Red Sox great Kari Yastrzemski, and I'm telling you that up front because it is Trivia Tuesday. The Yastrzemskis in general and the Giants will be key elements of the trivia contest at the end of the show tonight. So I'm giving you time to prepare for that now. In the interim, 617-779-0985. Again, given where we are in the season, given where the Red Sox are in the standings, we will take any and all thoughts concerning the Red Sox and their plight and the challenge that faces them going forward into this offseason. Okay, we'll do that for the balance of the year. There's only a couple of weeks left of this show. In fact, I think counting tonight, we have 9 more Baseball Reporters shows. The last one will be a week from Friday. Hopefully, the plan is to continue this show in podcast form, maybe once a week during the off season. But until then, you get 10 days or 9 days left to call in with your thoughts on the Red Sox. Here's where I want to begin tonight, because I really started thinking about this today. In fact, I wrote about it this morning on our website at 985thesportshub.com, because there was a story in the Boston Globe written by Alex Speer, who has covered the team for a number of years now and I think has a good relationship with Red Sox management and ownership in particular. Alex is a very bright guy, very thoughtful guy, and I don't think throws things around haphazardly. He wrote today basically an overview of what the Red Sox may want in their next search for a general manager. So I have told you, if I'm the Red Sox, I believe that I am one of the marquee franchises in baseball, along with the Giants and the Yankees and the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the Cubs. Those are the premium franchises of Major League Baseball. A premium franchise should have a premium general manager. So if I'm John Henry, I'm trying to get Theo or Billy Bean or Andrew Friedman of the Dodgers or Brian Cashman of the Yankees. Those are the people I'm going after, because it's that kind of job still. Alex Speer on the Globe today wrote, and I'm reading directly now, barring an effort to reel in an established star executive such as Epstein, Bean, Jeff Lunau, or Andrew Friedman, and Lunau is the general manager, the head of baseball operation for the Astros. Barring one of those guys, the Red Sox seem likely to seek a more collaborative model between ownership and their next head of baseball operations. Their need for more long-range thinking suggests an area where ownership-level input is likely to increase. Before I get to my thoughts and before I get to yours, Jim Murray, how do you feel about that?
It sounds to me like they want to go back to the Ben Cherington-style front office, where they get to have a puppet. Everyone gets a say. I think that's one of the things, it's now becoming more apparent by the day, and you read an article like this, that's one of the things that they didn't like about Dave Dombrowski. It was too inclusive. It was about him and the guys like Frank Wren that he surrounded himself with, and he probably didn't want to have to hear from the Red Sox nerds. And so they want someone that's malleable. Good luck with that.
So again, they didn't like Dombrowski because they felt that Dombrowski closed out some of the stat geeks. Dombrowski was too short-sighted. Dombrowski had too much power. Henry was the only one that could overrule Dombrowski. And ultimately, I think Henry had some sort of perception of what Dombrowski was when he brought him in, and then Dombrowski didn't live up to that. So now they want to go in the other direction. Let me get this part out of the way first. I don't want ownership anywhere near the baseball operation.
Me either.
Now, the idea of a GM who's open-minded, that I want. Okay, I don't want a GM like Dombrowski who thinks everyone else is stupid. I don't want that. We've had that, and let alone someone who's as short-sighted as Dombrowski did. He was so arrogant, it worked against him. Okay, it worked against him.
Yeah, there's an expiration date on a guy like that, and it was proven with, you know, you won a World Series, and then he's out after this year, and rightfully so. But I don't want someone that they feel like that they have complete control over, and if they don't like a move, they're going to stick their fingers in the pie. Like, no thanks.
So I don't want to beat you to death with the GM search and what I want in the next candidate. Okay, because again, I've told you, I want someone with long-term vision and short-term guts. Stuart, just quickly, how do you feel about the idea of ownership being involved with the next GM and in baseball decisions?
I don't love it. I'd like Tom, John, and Sam Kennedy to all kind of mind their own business. Sam, go get the money so that your GM can spend it. But the GM and the manager have to be in lockstep, and it can't be, in the case of Dombrowski, he talked to like Frank Wren, Tony La Russa, and tried to order Cora around, but I think Cora was under the guise of he's got more power because John Henry hired him.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is this. If you are the Red Sox, hire a guy who is open-minded to other thoughts, but that also has long-term vision, and someone that you can keep in the job for a little while. Is that such a big request? So as I really started thinking about this today, here's a major problem right now. Nobody of any consequence would take this job. Who in their right mind would take this job without a 10-year contract or a stake in ownership? They wouldn't. By the time you hire a new guy, you've hired four GMs in 9 years. Theo Splittown, you hired Charrington. Then you hired Dombrowski. Now you're going to hire a guy to replace him. You will have had, and I said hired four GMs, hired three to go along with Theo. You will have had four GMs in 9 years. So think of that. Let me just tell you what has happened in the last 9 years. I was talking to Matt McCarthy about this today. Theo was hired officially for 2003. Okay? 2003, they went to the LCS. 2004, they won it all. 2005, they made the playoffs. 2006 was a bridge year. 2007, they won it all. 2008, they went to the LCS game 7. 2009, they made the playoffs. 2010 was a bridge year. 11 should have been another championship caliber season. We all know that one went off the rails, but it wasn't because they didn't have the talent. They had plenty of talent on that team. Internally, they combusted. You want to say that it was because of free agents, too many free agents, what have you? Fine. I'll tell you they combusted internally because their management operation got sick of one another. But Theo's pattern was very clear. Theo went to the playoffs, the World Series, the playoffs, bridge year. Then the World Series, the LCS, the playoffs, bridge year. So every third or fourth year, the Red Sox had to kind of reshuffle or reload a little bit under Theo. Since Theo left, here's what you've had. 9 seasons, and this counts Theo's last year. Okay, it counts Theo's last year. But in the last 9 years, you've had 4 world titles, 3 last place finishes, and 2 colossal disappointments. 1 in 2011, in which you had a historic collapse at the end of the season, and then this year, which I think also qualifies as a colossal disappointment in which you buried yourselves out of the gate and you never really recovered. This team didn't come close to living up to its potential. So again, Theo's first several years through the organization, let's do it again. LCS, World Series, playoffs, bridge year. Then World Series, LCS, playoffs, bridge year. It's a pretty good pattern. Since that time, 4 World Series, 3 last place finishes, and 2 collapses. So you tell me, which has been the more schizophrenic existence? When you look at the last 9 years in Red Sox history, it has been schizo, split personality stuff. Championship, last place, 108 wins, collapsed, didn't show up for spring training. There's nothing consistent or stable about this organization. Nothing. Can you hire a GM and stick with him for more than 3 years? Can you do that? And you know what that means? Hiring the right guy, believing in his philosophy, and if he's a young guy who lacks baseball experience, then do what you did with Theo in 03. Put a senior guy next to him who's got experience. Murray, when you see the Red Sox have the kind of schizophrenic existence that they have had in the last 8 or 9 years, okay, again, four championships overall. I should say in the last 8 or 9 years, it's 4 first-place finishes, 3 last-place finishes, 2 disappointments. Okay, I've been saying 4 titles. I meant 4 first-place finishes. When you see that type of inconsistency and erratic behavior, who do you blame?
Ownership.
Jimmy Stewart, who do you blame?
Ownership.
There's been no stability. There's been none at all. It's totally about ownership empowering the baseball operation and staying out of the way. Stay out of the way. But I'm curious, as a fan, how do you feel? Would you rather have the 8 years you had under Theo, or would you rather have the last 9? You tell me. Because the last 9 have been schizo. You get the same number of world titles in each half, by the way. Again, the first half you got 2 with Theo, you've gotten 2 since. So at the end of the day, 2 world titles on each end, but which one would you rather have? The first 8 with Theo or the last 9 with 3 different GMs and 3 last-place finishes? To me, this is a no-brainer. That's where we're going to start. 617-779-0985. I'll share with you something else that I was in that Alex Spear story that I think was revealing. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They made an impact in the game, and I know there's a lot of people that... So, playing here, some of you guys cover it, I guess, and to see the kid playing out there in front of that wall is going to bring some memories and is going to take you to some special places, and... Like I told Yaz earlier today, hopefully, you know, when he comes up to bat, he doesn't do too much when the game is on the line. And if we're up 10-0, then he can do whatever he wants.
It's Alex Cora, obviously, on the appearance of Mike Yastrzemski over at Fenway Park tonight. Yaz's grandson be playing at Fenway for the first time. It's a good score, a story. I mean, you know, he played, what, 600 games in the minor leagues, 700 games in the minor leagues. Never got a chance. Giants finally gave him a chance. He's had a terrific year for them. Looks like he belongs in the big leagues. Yaz is at Fenway tonight. I mean, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, dorky old-time baseball story sort of thing. But given the story of Mike Yastrzemski, it's a good one. It is. It's a good one. And I don't need to tell you that Yaz's son, Mike's father, died tragically from complications to hip surgery back in 2004. In fact, I want to say it was like right before or during the World Series and the Red Sox run to the world title. I remember I spoke with Yaz in 2005 about it when the topic in spring training of 05, and when the topic came up, you know, Yaz just wanted to change the subject. I mean, he, you know, was still, I mean, as you would expect. In any case, you know, that's going over at Fenway tonight. We'll get to some more of that later. And again, it will be prominently featured in Trivia Tuesday. But the Red Sox GM search, a story in the Boston Globe today by Alex Spear, who has good sources in ownership and upper management, indicating that the Red Sox want a general manager, that in the absence of a star general manager, a Theo or an Andrew Friedman, one of those guys, that the Red Sox seem likely to seek a more collaborative model between ownership and their next head of baseball operations. That scares the hell out of me. That scares the hell out of me because the Red Sox in the last 8 years will now have had four general managers, four first place finishes, three last place finishes, and two seasons that you would call in one way, shape, or form a collapse. They need stability at GM. They need somebody who can do the job for a long period of time, because that instability is a poor reflection on ownership, whether they want to admit it or not. It's going to be hard to find someone to take this job, someone with clout. We'll go to your phones. Jay's in a car. Jay, what do you got?
Hey, Maz, how you doing?
Good.
So, a couple of one thing. I just want to answer your question. I think Theo, you asked, would we take Theo versus the last 8 years? How much of the current team did Theo draft, i.e., Bogey, Mookie, Devers? So, take what he did success wise and draft wise, and we need someone like him.
So, yeah, Jay, look, it's a good point. I mean, again, there are a lot of guys in this team that are still Theo guys. Absolutely, they are. So, you know, Theo has a hand in this team, just as you would say Dan Duquette had a team back in the, you know, the 2004 World Series. A lot of those guys were Duquette guys.
And my other point, Maz, I know this has been a big disappointment this year, but the silver lining has been the four guys who've had phenomenal seasons that are going to build us towards next year and kind of help make up for some of the poor signings. You know, Vasquez breaking out, Devers breaking out, Bogey even doing better than last year. Erod breaking out, and I think that gives the Sox an opportunity to make up for some of Dombrowski's mistakes, trade Mookie, and get some picks and guys who are maybe right on the doorstep and keep this thing going.
Okay, look, I happen to agree with you. I think Mookie's gone. Now, you can't get draft picks for him, but I think you meant to say prospects, and so I agree, get some prospects. They need some young talent in exchange for Mookie. So, Murray, let me just ask you quickly, or Jimmy Stewart, the four guys that he just mentioned, Bogarts, Devers, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Vasquez. Which of those guys do you believe in going forward? Which ones don't you?
Oh, all three but Vasquez. I believe in all three but Vasquez. Rodriguez, to a point, though, like Devers and Bogarts are true building blocks going forward, especially if you end up having a trade Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez doesn't opt in. I still would feel okay about the offense because of those two. Rodriguez, is he going to match what he did this year? Probably not, but he's still a solid third starter. And Vasquez, this feels like an anomaly.
Yeah, so look, to me, it's 2-2. I don't believe in Rodriguez yet either. He had a hell of a year. I'm not there yet. John's in Marlboro. John, what do you got?
Yeah, Maz, I was wondering, Duquette, did this ownership team fire him?
Yes.
They did, so... is it out of the question to hire him back?
So, look, out of the question, I would say no. Nothing's ever out of the question. I mean, they effectively fired Theo or pushed him out the door. They chose Larry over Theo, and I think that they would hire Theo back. So now the question is whether Theo would come back, and I think that that is unlikely. I would also think Duquette's unlikely. I don't think Duquette is really what they're looking for. So Duquette's open the analytics. I'm not sure Duquette is as interested in building the farm operation as Theo would be. So Duquette did well with some young players, but the bulk of his contribution to the Red Sox was some of those free agents. Pedro was a trade, although you could certainly argue that he acquired that by developing pitching prospects in Carl Pavano. Primarily, Brian Rose was another one at that time. He acquired Tony Armas in a trade and then flipped him in that Pedro deal. So, but most of Duquette's, look, from having covered them back then, I think Duquette was interested in drafting for the same reasons Dombrowski was, so that he could then trade the prospects for accomplished, experienced big leaguers. I don't think the Red Sox want to go that route. I think they want to draft and develop because it helps keep down costs, and let's face it, it gives you options. When you have young guys coming through your system, you can control your payroll, and you can go out and trade for anything you want. You can do both. Phil's in Somerville with a similar thought. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, hey, Tony. I was just thinking the same thing. I thought, I think Duquette gets a little bit underrated because, he made what was considered one of the best trades in Red Sox history, was sending Slocum and getting back Veritek and can't remember who else. But, he
Derek really Lowe. Yeah, it was Derek Lowe.
For this. Yeah, he really built the foundation for that, championship team. And I don't know, I just feel like, he really doesn't get enough credit that he should.
So, look, I think overall, Bill, you know, he did a pretty good job. Now, look, he wasn't media friendly. That thing completely was a disaster. I think he's changed a little since then. But I just, look, I'm not anti-Duquette. I like Dan. I just don't think he's the guy they want. Okay, I just don't think he fits with them. So, which is why I haven't brought his name up. I just don't think there's a great fit there. But, you know, to me, what they have to do is bring in someone who's going to build the farm system. Do you guys understand what has happened here over the last 8 years? I can't emphasize this enough to Red Sox fans. Take a good look at what has happened here over the last 8 years. So you've won two world titles, yes. You also won two under Theo. And you won two under Theo without three last place finishes. So again, the Theo years, I just think this is a great way to look at it. It's been 17 years now under this ownership. Really 18, but 02 was a transition year. Mike Port was the interim general manager. So in the 17 years since when they did a search and hired their own GM, split it into 8 years and nine, they won two world titles in each one. In the first eight, it went LCS, World Series, playoffs, bridge year. And then it went World Series, LCS, playoffs, bridge year. Then 11 came and it was a disaster. But not because they lacked the talent. That team was loaded. But in the 9 years since, two world titles, four first place finishes, three last place finishes, two collapses. One in 2011, and I would call this year a collapse, if you could call it, at the beginning. They collapsed out of the gate. They've been schizo. The Red Sox have been schizo for 9 years. 9 years. Am I going to play this game where they hire a GM every 3 years and treat it like the number four starter in the rotation? Well, we'll sign him to a three-year contract. Then we'll let him go and sign someone else. I would like something more consistent. I would like them to find a general manager that they believe in, who has a philosophy, and surround him with the people that they then need to surround him with. Find someone who thinks like you think, and then empower him, surround him with the people he needs. That's what they need to do.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Before we get back to your calls, big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Thanks to our friends at Big Y. Nathan Eovaldi pitching for the Giants tonight. I don't even know if this guy's in the lineup for San Francisco. Like, I don't even know if he's still with the team. But I'm going to give you the matchup anyway because the numbers are just so good. This guy for the Giants in his career against Eovaldi, listen to this. 13 for 20. 13 for 20. Jimmy, have you ever heard of a guy go for 13 for 20 against any pitcher?
No.
Okay, who do you think it is?
Brandon Belt.
Pablo Sandoval.
Oh, God.
Pablo Sandoval, 13 for 20 against Nathan Eovaldi. He's your Big Y matchup of the night. I don't know. I had to get him into the show somewhere. Nate's in Manchester. Nate, what do you got?
Hey, so I think overall the philosophy of ownership needs to change. I got two quick things is that they just need to get back to winning baseball games, right? They're so concerned with their image and selling all the off-field stuff. And the way that brand was built through the early 2000s was all just winning baseball games, just the nitty-gritty, which leads me to my point of, is it easier to build sustainability in the early 2000s versus now with, like, all the international free agent changes,
yes,
and everything, and how team building is just in general, and that's a question, so I don't really know.
Yes, it was easier then. For all the reasons you said, first of all, there were no restrictions on what you could spend in the free agent market, so the Red Sox could outspend a lot of teams. Secondly, Theo had it mastered. Jimmy Stewart knows this, that the rules were that if you signed a free agent and then you lost him, you know, in the free agent market, the subsequent free agent market, whenever you lost a free agent, there were compensation rules. So the Red Sox had it down. They would trade for guys who were going to be free agents. And then they would get a first, I think, Jimmy, was it two picks?
The best example of this, it would be two picks in some years. The best example of this is they traded for Billy Wagner in August, and they got a first-round pick or a top 35 pick for losing Billy Wagner as a free agent.
Okay, so it was something like that. And in some cases, I think it was actually first and a compensatory.
Which was somewhere between 30 and 45.
Yeah, it was a sandwich pick, right, between the first and second rounds. So, and I might be getting it wrong, but the point is you could really manipulate the system, and Theo was great at it. He was great at that. Jim's in Salem. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, what's going on? With the new management, new ownership coming in, GM, I mean, what do you think Bogart and Darwinson Hernandez's future with the Red Sox would be? And real quick, Jimmy and Maz, what do you think, what are your picks for the World Series this year?
Okay, so look, with regard to Bogarts, we all know what his future is. He signed a 6-year deal. He has an opt-out after 3 years. He's a tremendous player. He's become the leader of the team. Bogarts is going nowhere. I find it odd that you would pair Bogarts with Darwin's and Hernandez, but whatever. I'll go with it. Hernandez has done okay. He's gotten better as he's gotten along. I haven't watched. You know, to me, it's hard to evaluate. There's an old rule in baseball. You don't evaluate in spring training, and you don't evaluate in September. Okay, and in fact, you throw April in there too, although the Red Sox kind of threw a wrench into that one. It's really spring training in September. You don't evaluate during those times because the rosters are polluted. So that may change next year when you can't have a ridiculous roster in September anymore. So it's hard to evaluate. Hernandez, to me, would still have more value to the organization as a starter. It wouldn't surprise me if they go that route. Vinny's in a car. Vinny, what do you got? Hold on, Jim. Vinny, hold on 1 second. Murray, you got something?
Yeah, I wanted to know who your World Series pick was.
Oh.
He had asked.
Houston.
Verse?
Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm going Houston versus the Cardinals.
I want the Yankees and the Braves, and I want the Yankees to win.
So, look, Yankees would be a good story. Obviously, there's interest in them everywhere. I think Houston's the best team.
Agreed.
And if the Dodgers lose, I think there's always the chance they could do something stupid and trade for Mookie. So, you know, I sort of, you know, to me, if the Red Sox are going to get something from Mookie Betts, the Dodgers are a good candidate to do something dumb.
You don't think the Yankees win the World Series wouldn't be the great kick in the pants for the Red Sox to get their act together?
Oh, no,
especially when they had a chance to repeat.
Oh, there's that, too. Yeah.
That's why I want the Yankees.
I didn't tell you who I'd be rooting for, Jimmy. I told you who I picked. Houston, to me, has got the best team. Vinny's in a car. Vinny, what do you got?
Tony, I'll tell you what, the most frustrating thing about this is we should not even be having this conversation right now. This is November-December conversation.
Agreed.
And I mean, it's a 108-win team, and they have sucked since April. So, I mean, like, where do we go from here? I mean, we should not be having this conversation right now.
Okay, Vinny, I agree. Yeah, we shouldn't, and it is frustrating. We shouldn't be having it, but we are. Okay, we are. I can't talk about the games. We can't do that. Like, what do you want me to do? Talk about who's catching tonight? You know, I to me, there's just no reason to talk about the games anymore. They're irrelevant. So, you know, and I think you were just stating that as a matter of fact. And, you know, I get it. It is. It's frustrating. So, look, where do they go? I don't know. I mean, if you're asking me, and Matt McCarthy asked me this earlier, do I think that 2020 is going to be a bridge year? My answer is yes. So bridge year, define that as you want. I don't think they're going, you know, 75 and 87, but I don't think they're winning 95 games next year. So we'll have to see. Maybe they make some shrewd moves. Maybe they may bring in a GM who knows what the hell he's doing and starts building something again and will feel differently. But right now, it feels like they're at a significant crossroads in their development as an organization. I mean, you know, their evolution as an organization is what I should say. So coming up next, Trivia Tuesday. First five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, and that is 617-931-0985. You'll have the chance to participate if you can answer three questions in a row. You get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, the official pizza of baseball fans, and it'll be entered for a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort, provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, travel courtesy of JetBlue. Trivia Tuesday, next.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball Reporter. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
So you know the drill. Get answered three questions in a row correctly. If you do, you get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's and you'll be entered to win entered into a drawing to win a three-night trip to Aruba at the Tamarind Aruba Resort, courtesy of the Aruba Tourism Authority, travel courtesy of JetBlue. It's a good get. Right now, only have three people in the drawing, and Jimmy Stewart, our producer, tells me we have tonight and next Tuesday. That's it. So at most, five people in the drawing, which means at a minimum, your chances of that trip will be 20%. And if there are no winners the next two nights, then obviously three people go into the drawing and one person will, you know, they all have 33% chance. But that's pretty good. And the chances are that good for the people who answered the questions correctly because, frankly, I had to dumb these down so much and you guys still get them wrong. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And so tonight, I give people clues ahead of time. Michael Yastrzemski's in town, so it'll be a Yaz Giants-based trivia, heavily. We'll see how you guys do. Jimmy, what do you think? Do you think we get a winner tonight?
I'm with Jimmy on this. No shot.
So that's what the sound effect you will hear in the event of an incorrect answer. Jimmy, what does everyone hear if they get the answer right? Okay, so there you go.
It might be the only time you hear that sound effect during this
Block. Well, I don't know. I get some pretty easy questions in here to start, but we'll see how it goes. Sam's in Norwood. He is caller number one. Sam, you ready?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay, here you go. Much is being made of Michael Yastrzemski's appearance at Fenway Park tonight because he's obviously the grandson of Red Sox Hall of Famer Carl Yastrzemski. What number did Yaz wear with the Red Sox?
Eight.
Number eight is correct. Good job. Okay, there you go. Number eight is correct. Okay, your next question. The greatest player in Giants history and maybe all of baseball history is outfielder Willie Mays. Played center field. What home run king is Willie Mays' godson?
Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron is incorrect. Hank Aaron is Willie Mays' godson.
It's just the time doesn't even make sense.
No, exactly. They're the same age. No, Barry Bonds is Willie Mays' godson. Barry. I'm surprised he didn't pick Babe Ruth. Tim is in Providence. Tim, are you there?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Here you go. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. This Giants third baseman was a fan favorite largely for his chubby body and his October heroics. He subsequently... Hold on, I'm not done.
Oh.
He then signed with the Red Sox for 5 years and $95 million. Who is he?
Pablo Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval is correct. Very good. There you go. Okay, next question.
All right.
In 2016 in Oakland, this starting pitcher for the Giants became the first pitcher to bat for himself in an American League game since 1976. He then went 1-for-4. Who was he?
Tim Lincecum?
Tim Lincecum is incorrect.
It has to be a left-handed pitcher, right?
Well, it doesn't have to be. Why does it have to be?
I was trying to answer the question without answering the question.
Oh, no, you can answer the question, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Was it Madison Bumgarner?
Oh, yes, Madison Bumgarner is correct. That is the correct answer. There you go, Jimmy. Give yourself a little love. That should have been an easy one. Bumgarner is like one of the best hitting pitchers in baseball. I don't know why you'd guess Lincecum there, but then again, I don't know why you people guess many of the things you guess. Jay is in Grafton. Jay, you ready to go?
I already have my sunscreen packed for Aruba.
Okay, here we go. Complete the sentence. The manager of the Giants is?
Bruce Bochy.
Bruce Bochy is correct. Good job. There you go. Very good. Okay, next question, number two. See if you can get three right. Beginning in 2004, there have been 15 World Series and thus 15 World Series champions. The Red Sox and Giants have accounted for 7 of those 15 World Series. 4 for Boston, 3 for San Francisco. Name the only other team over the last 15 years to win multiple World Series.
Cardinals.
Cardinals is correct. Very good. St. Louis Cardinals is correct. Good job. Okay, last one. Here you go. Spell Yastrzemski.
Oh, man. Y-A-Z.
Incorrect.
I have no idea.
I got to stop you there. Incorrect.
But there's a Z in yes.
That was Murray's question today. He offered that one up. It's a good one, Murray. That's a good question.
Oh, it's the first thing I thought of. There's no shot that people can get that without looking at their phone.
That guy thought he had all the answers, yeah. Right? Until he got to that one. did we? We stuck it down his throat pretty good. That was a good job, Murray. Good job with that question. Josh in Fall River, you ready?
Ready, babe.
Okay, here you go. What year did Yaz win the Triple Crown?
1967.
1967 is correct. Good job. Okay, good job.
Thank you.
Spell Bumgarner.
Oh, what the hell? B-O-M.
Incorrect.
Bumgarner. He explodes.
Oh, my gosh, it is. It's comical. Jay's in Brookline. Jay, you there?
I'm here, Tony. I've gotten every question right so far. You just haven't heard me.
Okay, you're the fifth and final caller.
All right.
Okay, in May 2011, let me finish the question, Jay.
Yep.
In May 2011, this Giants catcher suffered a season-ending injury that effectively prompted Major League Baseball to alter the rule book banning home plate collisions. Who was he?
That would be Buster Posey.
Buster Posey is correct. Good job. Good job. Okay, now I asked a short time ago, I said beginning in 2004, there had been 15 World Series champions. The Red Sox and Giants have accounted for 7. 2 of the remaining 8 came from the St. Louis Cardinals. Of the remaining 6 teams to win the World Series in the last 15 years, name 3 of them.
Yankees, Royals, and Cubs.
Correct. Yankees, Royals, Cubs are correct. The Houston Astros also won one, as did the Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago White Sox. Okay, final question. You ready?
I'm ready.
How old are you?
52.
52?
Yep.
Okay, here's a tough one for you. Let's see if you remember it.
All right.
Kari Yastrzemski, at the time, became the first American leaguer in history to get 400 home runs and 3,000 hits. At the time he accomplished that.
Yeah.
What American League team did Yaz collect his 3,000th hit against?
Oh, Tony, that's a tough one. I'm going to say the California Angels, but I'm probably wrong.
You are wrong. Good guess, though. Oh. Murray, if I was going to ask you about a question about what team a Red Sox player got an achievement against, what team would you guess just by default?
The Yankees?
Yankees is correct. Yankees is correct. Yaz hit a ground ball through the right side that many people believe Willie Randolph, the second baseman, deliberately let get by him. Because Yaz was something like 0 for 20 going for his 3,000th hit. And so Willie Randolph let the ball go into right field for his 3,000th hit. And Yaz collected his 3,000th against the Yankees. That's what a lot of people believe. Because Randolph was a terrific second baseman. All of a sudden on that ball, he couldn't move. Okay, so it was sort of a convergence of... I thought the questions were good tonight.
Yeah.
Just myself. Murray says that because he came up with the spell Yastrzemski question. Which, by the way, I can spell off the top of my head. Pac-Man, go ahead, Murray.
I was going to say, my first Red Sox game ever was Yaz Day in 1983. I was 7 years old, and I remember asking my dad, what the hell's the, like, what's the big deal with this guy? Like, I was like, I just want to watch the game.
Yeah.
What's all this extra crap?
No, in fact, you know, what is the big deal? Yastrzemski.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.